You guys, when am I gonna learn to stop recording at 10:50 at night? Every time I think I'm gonna start at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever, and it's always 10 o'clock at night. Well, let me tell you, I have had quite a full day. Quick rundown, worked today, then after that, had to go to a mall, to go to a Lush to get some skincare products for my mom. Because she lives pretty far away and she's been wanting some Lush products for a while, so I thought I'd pick some up. And then I went to a local like garden center type thing and picked up some stuff because I have recently really gotten into planting and got a stake and some Velcro tape so I could tape up a Monstera Deliciosa I have that's been very unruly. We're not on speaking terms right now, but it does look much better. What else did I do? Oh, then I went to Lowe's. And tip to anyone who's trying to grow plants indoors or out of season, or you're wintering over plants. Hi, welcome to my gardening podcast. Go to Lowe's, or actually, depending on how much money you want to spend. So, here's two ways to kind of help your plants out if you are in a situation like I am where you live in an apartment or a house. Mine's an old house from the 1800s that's been converted into apartments, and it's kind of like semi-detached houses, so all of our east and west windows are not great light. You can go to Lowe's you would think they'd be at Lowe's, but the only places I've found them are Target and Meijer's, which I don't know how regional that is, but they're these light bulbs. They're like, I found them from GE, I think. Like Walmart has a generic brand, but they're grow bulbs for your plants, which that's nothing new. But what I've had trouble with in the past is that when I'm trying to grow them and I want to find a place to put everything, it's hard to find a way to put the light bulbs in that doesn't look terrible and is also good for the plant. So, like, you'd think you just slap the light bulb in a desk lamp and there you go. But one, looks terrible. Two, a lot of times the distance is not right and it doesn't really help the plant that much. So, that long-winded way to getting to this story is, for a really cheap way to do this right, or to help your plants out, is you can put them pretty much anywhere. Go get one of those light bulbs. They make a couple different types. One is a regular-ish light bulb that's about $10. And then there's a much more powerful LED one that puts out like over three times what the regular light bulb does, but it's like $30. So I just got a couple of those today to test out and see if they really work. But go get some of those, however many you need. Maybe just start out with one. And then go to like a PetSmart or any type of generic pet store and go to the like reptile section, you know, and get some of those lights, just one or however many light bulbs you have. Get those lights that go on the top of tanks where you can just screw the light bulb in and the cord just comes out of the top. Here's what I did to kind of make it work a little bit for me. Now, those light fixtures are, they're pretty tacky. They're not the most appealing looking. So I did that initially. And what I would do is string up the light as if it was a pendant light. And if the cord wasn't long enough, our ceilings are, I think, 13 or 14 feet tall. So it's kind of a struggle. Use like a cheap extension cord or something, run it to an outlet, and there you've got a spotlight that is like full sun. And you can put, you know, full sun plants in the middle, and then towards the outskirts, kind of work your way out to medium and low light plants, no matter what room you're in or what kind of lighting you've got. And then if that does work well for you, do what I do today, which is you can either get some of those lights actually just detach. The little shroud detaches and you can just put your own lampshade on, and then it's basically a cheap pendant light. Or you can go to like Lowe's, Home Depot, and get a pendant light kit that has like a 15-foot cord on it, and then get a lampshade of your choice, and you've got like kind of a decorative way to give your plant some light. This is a writing podcast, and yet somehow I took a 5-minute detour into plant care. Woo! Anyway, I just spent like 4 hours setting that up and cursing and screaming at my walls because they are very difficult to put anything in. And turns out so is the ceiling, and my landlord is going to love that when he finds out that I drilled into the ceiling. But, you know, the roof already leaks and the floor is crooked and the air leaks in from outside, so they can take my $1,200 a month in rent and put it towards that instead of patching up, you know, holes, I guess. But, looks like today we're getting into a new chapter, and it is a little bit longer than the last one was. Maybe I'll put an ad in there or something. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but this is, I think some of the first drama we've had in a few chapters, so hopefully you enjoy, and, we'll head into it. Chapter 13, Afternoon Interrupted. The men pull themselves out of the pool's edge and lay themselves out to dry on the hot concrete. Billy crawls to lay at Travis's side, and the large man wraps an arm around him. With the doubt of defining the relationship gone, Billy revels in his relationship. "Travis?" he whispers quietly. "Yes?" I love you," Billy says. "I love you too, Billy," Travis returns. They bake in the sun quietly, enjoying each other's company. Soon, though, a car can be heard careening down the street out front, and the bout of love drunkenness ends. Billy leans up, and Travis's ears peak to listen. The car sounds expensive, and it can be assumed that it's Dax that has returned. Billy stands and dresses in his sun-stiffened clothes. "Trav, don't you want to get dressed? Dax sounds upset," Billy suggests. "Dax is always upset. Calm down," Travis purrs. Billy pulls his shirt on as Dax comes busting out the double French doors onto the patio. If the sound of his car was any indicator, his expression was even worse. As soon as he sees Travis in his low level of clothing, Dax covers his eyes. "Are those..." "Never mind, Travis, Jenny is on her way," he says, and Travis blanches visibly. "Hurry, hide," Dax urges, his hands motioning them into the house. Travis swallows a lump in his throat and returns to his normal color. "Travis!" Dax is cut off by a venomous look from the large, almost nude man. "I've moved on, Dax, and she can try as much as she wants, but she's not going to get to me." Travis allows for inflection in his voice, and Dax picks up on it, face softening for a moment. But in moments, he's panicked again. "Will you please at least put some clothes on?" Dax runs into the house and comes back out, throwing a pile of clothing at the man. "Billy, you may want to stay out here away from her," Dax instructs. Billy nods, but Travis protests as he struggles to get his shirt on over his head. Billy helps him, and when his face is free, he verbally objects. "He can stay or go. I'd want him to stay," Travis says. Dax shrugs, but runs into the house nonetheless. "He's really upset. Something has got to be up more than this," Billy says. In the house, Dax starts into something frantically. "Listen, I have to tell you something." Dax starts as a car door slams from the street, and then he rushes outside. The two remaining men are in the rear of the house, and they rush to the living room to peek out the windows. They look for a way to see the fight they expect, but can see nothing but lawn, and so they sneak to the front door. At first, nothing can be seen except for the perfectly manicured yard, but then Dax can be seen backing his way up the path. "Stay away, Jen. Just leave," he yells. "I know he's in there. I just want to talk to him," an unknown voice purrs. Deep and husky, Billy imagines a frightening, dark, evil woman. He's surprised by the woman who backs Dax up the drive. Long, bone-straight blonde hair sweeps around her face, masking her. Mentally, Billy makes a note that Travis must have always had a thing for blondes. When she rounds the corner, she looks up and her beauty is evident. Her fair skin is taut over high cheekbones and petite nose. Her eyes, blue and piercing, bore into Travis as he stands up in front of Billy in the doorway. "Hey, baby," she mews as she stalks up the path. "Hi, Jenny." Travis's greeting is empty and cold. "Aren't you glad to see me, Travy?" she asks, sounding upset but suggestive all at once. "Not particularly," he says, stepping forward to challenge the beautiful woman on the stoop. She backs up, puzzled. It seems she's never faced any rejection before. Her face takes on a hard edge, shifting completely from her previous demeanor. Her mouth sets in a thin, hard line. "Who's this?" She jerks her head at Billy. Travis widens his stance in front of him protectively. He's my friend." Travis falters, and Jenny's face lights up in a terrible glee. "Are you serious?" she shouts. "I should have known you were a faggot. You were always terrible in the sack anyway." She laughs and loses any semblance of a smile as she bares her teeth. "Does your little boyfriend have a name?" she asks. She's obviously entertained. "His name's Billy." Travis is curt. "Well, you and Billy continue whatever this is, but I just wanted to show you something real quick." Everybody can tell she has a trick up her sleeve, and judging by the expression on Dax's face, he knows what it is. Billy wants nothing more than to pull the men into the house and shut the door, but he stands stock still. "Honey, come here to Mama," Jenny calls out. Dax's panic face grows impossibly paler as a small girl rounds the bend in the path. She walks up to her mother, long blonde hair swaying from side to side, and takes Jenny's hand. Billy doesn't understand all the hullabaloo until the girl's hair falls from around her face. Huge almond-shaped eyes, hazel in color, peer out of a carbon copy of Jenny's face. They flicker up to Travis, who drops like a sack of flour to his knees. The girl really seems like a tiny version of her mother, except for the eyes. Her father's eyes. "Hi." Travis breathes in disbelief. The girl looks up at Travis, but remains mute, holding his gaze. "What's your name?" he asks. She cocks her head. "Leslie," she says, but her voice sounds like a million tiny bells tinkling in the wind. Travis's eyes water. "Hi there, Leslie. I'm..." Travis attempts, but Billy interrupts him. "Leslie, this is your daddy," Jenny spits. Travis's eyes don't even flicker in her direction as Leslie reaches out to touch his face. Her small, delicate fingers trace his jawline and she smiles at him. The contact shocks Jenny and she jerks the girl back. "Go on back to the car," she says firmly. Leslie blows her father a tiny kiss and walks away, her swaying gait the epitome of childlike beauty. As soon as she's out of sight, Jenny cracks her hand hard across Travis's face. He stands and grabs her wrist before it can fall to her side. "Don't hit me," he says. His voice cracks in anger, but Billy knows he isn't angry about the slap. "Why shouldn't I? You left me alone and pregnant," she hisses. "You weren't alone when I found you in bed with Steve," Travis roars. Jenny falls back, obviously not having played this scenario out. "When can I see her again?" he asks. His voice is quiet now. She smiles dangerously. "I'll tell you what, you can see her tomorrow." Her teeth glint. "Where? When?" he asks, like an addict looking for his next fix. "Same shitty house you left me with. Come over whenever, but call first. Do you remember the number?" she asks. "By heart," Travis murmurs as he lets his hand drop. He turns away without another word and winds down the drive. Dax rushes into the house and follows him, and he shuts the door, leaning against it. Jenny still stands, staring at the door from the other side. "Why didn't you tell me?" Travis yells. "And how the hell was I supposed to tell you when no one could find you?" Dax yells back. Travis's blazing eyes turn inward and he collapses in the middle of the floor, sobbing into his hands. Billy swoops down over Travis and gathers his head in his lap. The man cries for a minute while Billy strokes his hair. The sobs gradually lessen and Travis palms his eyes looking at Billy. "I have a daughter," he says and laughs. Billy nods, ignoring the warning signs going off in his head. "She's beautiful," he murmurs to Travis. They both laugh and smile, Billy nodding and looking down at Travis in his lap. "I hate to interrupt this, but Jenny's got a drug problem," Dax says, interrupting the two on the floor. Billy and Travis snap their attention to the beautiful man standing in front of them. Leslie was born with amphetamines in her system. Jenny got picked up at least once a month before this, and even recently it hasn't been great. Billy wonders why Dax seems to be the only one who knows about any of this, but Travis is only interested in his daughter. "How do we help her?" Travis asks. "I don't know, but I'll get some lawyers on it," Dax says. Travis nods, and Billy marvels that this family apparently has lawyers on speed dial. Until then, I'll keep some of my friends on watch for her, Dax says. Travis nods weakly in Billy's arms and his head slumps. Billy pushes the long back hair from Travis's eyes and can see how tired the bloodshot pools are. Come on, he coos into Travis's ear, helping him to stand up. Travis obediently follows behind him, and Billy leads him back to his old room, a place he hadn't yet seen. Billy hip-checks the door open and is assaulted by the masculine era. Walls are covered in cars, beaches, and women, and the room has a feel that, for some reason, Billy likes. He pulls back the sheets of the small bed, and he laughs. The sheets are checkerboard, and there's little cars driving on them. All right, let's get you into bed, Billy says, pulling the flannel comforter and letting Travis tip onto the bed. As Billy puts the covers over him, Travis's eyes drift to focus on him. God damn, we can't catch a break, can we? Travis asks with a small, half-hearted grin. We'll figure it out, Billy says, although this issue may be more than he is prepared to handle. Billy walks out into the living room and sees Dax perched on an armchair looking thoroughly bored. It's funny, I've really only known you guys a couple of days. I don't really even know my own brother anymore, and yet somehow everything seems like it should be this way. Minus the whole drug-addicted ex-wife thing. Life's funny that way, Dax says, completely unprompted. Billy nods and looks up at the man who suddenly looks like the world has fallen on his shoulders. What's wrong? Billy asks. Nothing, Dax says with a sigh. Billy cocks his head. I'm just tired as all, of the loneliness and the sadness and feeling like I'm being used, the towering man says quietly. Billy nods, and Dax continues. Watching you deal with Travis's meltdown made me realize that in my whole life, I've never been in a relationship. Sure, I've had fling after fling, but never something remotely as close to what I saw today, and you said you've only been together 6 weeks. The way you cared for him was instinctual, and I was amazed. I just want something like that. Not exactly, but close, and I feel like I'm never going to. I feel like I'm destined to be alone. Billy, what do I do? Dax asks, and Billy looks at him evenly. You need to relax. I see your success, and that's great for you, it really is, but you said you're 24, so you've got to live it up. Stop being as focused as I have a feeling you are on yourself, and go out once in a while. I don't have all that much room to talk, because this is the first time I've ever been outside of Overland Park County, but I can see you need a break, Billy says in one long breath. Dax nods and stands, patting him on the knee. Thanks, man. I gotta go to a checkup. Tell Travis the lawyers are on it. He smiles at Billy and walks out of the room, stopping in the entrance for a moment as the sun hits his skin, just smiling. Then he's out the door and gone. As Billy hears the car peel itself away from the curb, he goes back to check on Travis. Small snores echo out from the lump on the bed, and Billy smiles to himself as he closes the door, walking into his room and changing into some of the clothes Travis had given him. As he pulls a fresh shirt over his head, he hears an odd buzzing sound but dismisses it until it sounds again. Billy listens carefully and traces the buzzing to the phone Travis had bought for him. He finds it a bit odd that he's receiving any communication, but he just assumes it's the wrong number. He picks up the phone and reads the screen out loud. One new message. He presses the open button and waits for it to load. When it does, he throws the phone across the room and screams, falling to the floor. Travis comes bursting through the door a moment later to find Billy draped across the rug, his eyes wide and teary in apparent horror. What? Who? He yells groggily. When he spots Billy, he picks him up and holds him to his chest. What is it, Billy? Tell me, Travis insists softly. Billy points in the direction where the phone had landed without looking, and his eyes are glassy and unfocused, his shaking body feeling so suddenly fragile in Travis's stocky arms. Travis finds the phone in a corner of a room. When he looks at the image, his entire body tenses. On the screen, a charred body lay, twisted and gnarled on a bed of branches. Facing towards the camera, it's clear the body had been left to the elements. Travis deletes the picture and has to keep himself together to keep Billy from falling apart. He's dead. He's supposed to be dead, Billy says, over and over. Travis holds him close, rubbing his back and whispering comforting things to him until he finally calms enough to sit without shaking himself over. "Travis, I... Billy stutters, taking Travis's hands and looking at him. "I have to leave," he says. Travis stops and looks up at him. "No, you're staying with me," Travis says quickly. Billy shakes his head. "Travis, I can't put you and your family, your daughter, in any danger," Billy says. Travis stops at this, thinking clearly for a moment, but then he shakes his head anyway. "It didn't take me long to fall in love with you, William Lewis. I'm not letting you go now. If we got away from him once, I'm sure we can do it again," Travis says. "You saw him. He was dead. Outside your cabin, don't you remember?" Billy's in shock. "I know, boy, I know," Travis says, smoothing Billy's coarse hair. Travis holds Billy close until Laura comes bursting into the house. Her voice rings throughout, and the men untangle, and Travis goes to meet his mother while Billy finishes changing. He pulls on new jeans he realized he never told Travis about the day, the apartment. "I brought dinner," she announces loud enough to reach Billy in the bedroom, and he makes his way out to the kitchen. Out in the brightness of the main area of the house, Billy winces from the sunlight, his eyes still swollen from crying. "Hi, Billy," Laura says as he plops down at the breakfast bar in the kitchen. "Hi," Billy says. He's trying to pretend he's not exhausted. Laura looks at him and Travis steps up to explain Billy's apathy. "I'm sorry, Mom. It's been a rough day for both of us," he says vaguely. Laura tilts her head. "Why's that?" she asks. Jenny came by today," he says, and Laura's eyes go wide. "Oh my God, I am so sorry," she groans, and Travis nods. "She brought Leslie by," Travis says quietly. "Leslie?" Laura seems to be genuinely in the dark. "Jenny's daughter. My daughter, Mom," Travis says in a low voice. Laura's jaw drops and she murmurs, "Are you... is it..." "We're sure," Billy says without looking up from the counter. Laura drops her hands and she looks at Travis narrowly. He smiles. "She's beautiful, Mom," he says, and his eyes are shining. Laura still seems a bit lost, but she smiles back. So I have a granddaughter?" Her voice rises. Travis nods quickly and they embrace, smiling and laughing excitedly. Billy's excluded from all this, understandably, but as mother and son separate, Travis wraps Billy in a quick and tender embrace. "I can't wait to tell your father," Laura says. She tosses a bag onto the counter and it smells like heaven to the half-starved men. Billy grabs the bag and Travis leads the way back to his bedroom. They eat quietly and Billy decides he should tell Travis about the apartment. "Travis?" Billy says. "Yeah?" Travis looks up from his burger, speaking with a mouthful of lettuce hanging down from his chin and dripping onto his shirt. "I found a place to live," Billy says quietly, waiting for a reaction. Travis gulps and looks at Billy for a minute, his eyes unreadable. "So," Travis begins, unable to finish what he wanted to say or ask. "Travis, do you want to come with me?" Billy asks, reading the question. Travis nods emphatically, and Billy smiles at him, putting his hands on the larger man's knee. "Good. I was kind of planning on it. I don't know if I can afford the rent," he says with a laugh, and Travis leans over and kisses him sloppily on the cheek. As they continue with their meal, Travis asks, "So when does the move happen?" Billy looks over. "Soon as possible." "Damn," Travis says. "What?" Billy doesn't want to argue. "It's just so quick is all." "I know, but I don't want to overstay my welcome," Billy says, and Travis nods reluctantly. "Yeah, I guess I just feel safer here. More at home," Travis says. "I guess we'll just have to make the apartment our home if that's okay with you," Billy says. Travis nods. They finish their food and then gather the trash and bring it to the kitchen where Laura sits at the table. Travis turns back, but Laura turns to Billy. "Billy, sit down with me for a second," she says, patting the seat across from her. He does so obligingly. "Tell me, what really happened this afternoon?" she asks. Billy sighs, just at the memory. He explains the events of the day, and Laura's expression shifts several times during the story. When he finishes, Laura takes his hand and pats it gently. "That must have been tough for both of you," she says, and Billy doesn't really know how to read into what "both" meant. "Well, Travis took it pretty hard," Billy says. Laura nods and smiles knowingly. "In any case, can you make sure he's okay tonight? It's hard to be alone when something like that's going on," she says. "Okay, I'll check in with him before I turn in tonight," Billy says, trying to keep his tone even. "Billy, don't play coy with me. I can see how you look at each other." "Just one thing," she says. "What is it?" Billy feels himself tense. "Treat my Travis good, okay?" Laura's sincere, and Billy nods firmly. "I promise," he says. She pats his hand. "Good. Welcome to the family, Billy," she says, and walks out of the backyard. Billy sits alone at the table for a moment before going back to the small, poster-plastered room. He walks in to see Travis lying under his comforter, his toes sticking out from underneath the other end. Billy laughs, sitting down at the edge of the bed, staring up at the man who peers at him while tucking the blanket around his exposed feet. "Travis, exactly how tall are you?" Billy asks. 6'7", he says casually. Billy nods, looking back down at the feet. He decides that for feet, they're quite handsome. He toys with one of the toes absentmindedly. "Billy, what's eating at you?" Travis asks, sitting up. "Nothing, why?" "Because I know when you're upset," Travis says. "I'm not upset, just, surprised. Your mom just welcomed me to the family," Billy says quietly. "Well, she does that. She just..." Travis starts, but Billy looks up and cuts him off. "No, she meant it more like a blessing for us," Billy says, and Travis exhales like someone had punched him. "Are you okay?" Billy asks as the large man stares at the bedding. "Yeah, it's just weird, you know? I thought it would... well, I guess I don't know what I thought," Travis said quietly. "I know, but it doesn't seem like anyone really minds," Billy says. "Wait, who else knows?" Travis asks. "Well, Dax figured it out too. Apparently, our eyes say a lot about us," Billy says sarcastically. "I guess it really isn't that big of a deal," Travis says, and Billy nods. They're silent for a while. "This is a good thing," Travis murmurs and falls back into his prone position on the bed. Billy nods and pats Travis on the knee, standing at the foot of the bed. "I'm gonna turn in. I'll see you later tonight," Billy asks. "Yeah, soon," the giant grumbles, obviously somewhere else. Billy dismisses the distance and heads back into the bathroom, showering and taking care of every hygienic need before slipping into his bedroom. Before he lays down, he picks up his phone cautiously to text Dax. He queries to see about work and waits and stares at the ceiling, following the blades. Absentmindedly, he thinks about his new life and feels butterflies. The bedspread hums and he reaches for his phone. Dax tells him not to worry about work until he gets settled in. Billy thanks him and crawls under the covers, falling asleep fast. Before sleep really has a chance to claim him, though, the bedroom door creeps open, letting dim light bathe the wall opposite. Quickly, the light's cut off, and he feels the bed sheets drawn back. Billy welcomes Travis into his arms for the night. "Hey," Billy says unnecessarily. "Hi," Travis murmurs and settles into the thin arms wrapped around him. Billy smiles. Travis opens his mouth to say something, but instead, he just yawns, his warm breath tickling Billy's chest as he falls asleep. Travis is close behind. Okay, hi, it's me, back again. Jonathan, the author. The writer, let's not say author, that's inaccurate. I would just like to say that the last, 9 minutes of that recording was all shot in one little take, or whatever you want to call it. Which doesn't sound that impressive, but let me tell you, it was a lot. Also, some stuff got scrambled up in between all the little sections, so hopefully everything makes sense cohesively. I've listened to everything, and it seems to make sense, but sometimes you know how your brain will skip over stuff? I guess you can't really let me know, but honestly, if you miss a sentence here or there, it's not the end of the world. It all makes sense. But that was it. Chapter what? 13? What is it called? Afternoon Interrupted or something? I've been naming the chapters as I go along because they don't have names, but it is a wild ride to read all this again. Sometimes as I'm reading it, I'm just changing words or changing sentence structures, and you can probably tell, but sometimes I think it adds to the story, or at least makes it a little bit more, I don't want to say cohesive, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I am tired. I've had a sore throat for like 3 days, and it is 9 minutes away from my bedtime, because I'm 12 years old and I have a bedtime. I'm just kidding, I'm 24, but I still have a bedtime, and I'm gonna get to it, but I want to say thanks again for listening, and hopefully I'll, I guess I won't hear from you, but you'll hear from me tomorrow, and hopefully not at midnight. Thanks for listening.